Gospel according to Mark, please. Chapter 4. Reading in verse 30. He said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? Like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." With many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. When they were alone, he expounded all the things to his disciples. The same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also other with him, other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he rose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And God would bless to us the reading of his own precious word. Up in Gore Bay, in our Bible reading, we're in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13. Very much the same as chapter 4, the parable of the mustard seed. The Lord Jesus is speaking of end times. The mustard seed indeed is very small and would seem very insignificant. And yet it can grow into a large bush, even a tree. And then you'll notice that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now the Lord Jesus spake in parables. Now from young we were taught that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In other words, it is something that takes place on earth, but it has a spiritual significance. And so the Lord is speaking of end times and those end times in which we are in now. That little seed I want to suggest to you is the seed of the Word of God, or shall we say, that small insignificant thing that was born of the Virgin, Christ. What a dramatic effect he has made upon the world. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. We can think of Christendom, so called. And there are those in Christendom today who are not saved and those who are saved. Wherever you have a work of God, you have an imitation of Satan. You know, we're a very small company today. There are some in Christendom today that would look at us and say, "Well, they're just a little side religion. Poor people. Poor people." But thank God we have the Lord. But I really don't want to spend too much time on that. What I really want you to look at is from verse 35 on down to verse 41. The Lord Jesus is speaking in parables. He only spoke to them in parables. They couldn't understand it. For some it was, you know, making blind eyes to see and making seeing eyes blind. They couldn't really understand it. But he explained to the disciples the meaning of the parables. You and I can read today and we can look and we can see how these things have been unfolded and how they're coming to pass. I believe that we are truly living in the last and closing days of this dispensation. When I come to verse 35, I read, "The same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over onto the other side." So we're going to take a little journey. A little journey in a boat. We're going across to the other side. His disciples are traveling with him to the other side. And I liken this to the journey that we are passing through in life. We're passing through the sea of time to the other side. But as we're passing across, he sent away the multitude, and they entered the ship, and other were other little ships. But verse 37, "There arose a great storm of wind and waves that beat into the ship, so that it was now full." I believe a picture of what we're living in today. Far less than encouraging, rather discouraging. You know, the ship was supposed to be in the water, not the water in the ship. And that storm that arose, it was apparent to the disciples that the ship could go down. Very discouraging. And so they went looking for the Lord Jesus, and they found him in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. And they cried out, "Master, do you not care that we perish? Aren't you afraid? We're terrified for our lives. This ship is going down. This ship is going down." The Lord Jesus, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." The wind ceased. There's a great calm. I've seen times up in Gore Bay when the waves are just rolling in. I remember a time my father told me about when he was out, and it was so rough out there that sometimes the boat was on the crest of the waves, and other times it was heading down, and you could almost see the rocks at the bottom, and you're heading down and then up again. And terrible experience. The Lord Jesus speaks to the sea, and he says, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased. There's a great calm. I think that all of us have experienced a time when you've been by the water, open water, and it's been like a mirror. Calm. What a tremendous difference. What a difference. Now, after having had that experience, the question is this. They look at the Lord Jesus and they've just seen a miracle. They've just seen something that can't be explained. And so the comment that is made is, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. What manner of man is this? My brother was reading in Samuel, and Samuel was to explain to Israel the manner of a king that they would get. And we've heard about that. And that king really, he could typify for us the God of this world in which we're living. Thank God you and I are just passing through. Brian Crawford and I were down in St. Lucia just part of November, December last year, seeking to have gospel meetings and ministry meetings. And we happened to be there at a time when there was an election going on. An election. And, you know, West Indians take their politics very seriously. Politics and sports and religion and a whole lot of things they go in for with a vengeance. And we were there at a time when the political arena was on fire. I mean, they're out there and they're got their loudspeakers and they're having their campaigns and they're really going at it. But you know what? The believers in the assembly, it was just as if it wasn't happening. Just as if there was nothing going on out there at all. Oh, they were wise enough to know that it's going to be hard to get the unsaved coming in. They knew that. But the word politics, they even told Brother Crawford, you're wearing the wrong color tie. That's one of the colors of the political party. You can't wear that tie. So we took off the red tie. Next night he came with a blue tie on, and they said, you can't wear that either. That's the other party. So we put on a yellow tie, and the yellow tie was the third party. So, I mean, it's rough going, isn't it? But the point is this. Our politics are in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. The Lord Jesus, they said of him, what manner of man is this? We read in Samuel what manner of man King Saul would be. And it's not a very nice description, is it? Dead honest, but not what the believer would want. Now they say the same of the Lord Jesus. What manner of man is this? I understand the thought is this. He's from the other side. You see, they've taken a journey from one shore to another shore. What kind of a man is this? What manner of man is this? Is he from a different dimension? I'm not talking Star Wars, but this man is different. He's got power with God. This man, he just spoke to the wind and the sea and there's a great calm. What manner of man is this? Now I want to make reference to three other scriptures and then I'm going to get down. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. John writes and he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Does this not tie in with my brother has been bringing before us? They reject the message. They reject the messenger because they reject God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What manner of man is this? What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us? The world talks about love. It's easy to love someone that loves you back. But think about this. The unsaved are haters of God. The apostle could say we love him because he first loved us and gave himself for us. When did he love us? In our rebellion? In our rejection? When we were far from him? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Heaped upon us. Saturated upon us. Buried us in it. In His love. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 11. 2 Peter 3 verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. In other words, this world in which you and I are living is only temporal. It is ripe for the judgment of God. And it deserves it. The world doesn't read their Bibles, but they read you and I. Peter is saying this. He's saying, look, he says, you as believers, he says, you know these things. Your minds, your hearts have been opened and receptive to the Word of God. You know what the Word of God teaches? It's going to happen. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. What manner of man is this? What manner of persons ought we to be? We belong to him. Finally, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye be called of the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time in sojourning here with fear, forasmuch as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but from the vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. What manner of man is this? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What manner of persons ought ye to be? As he which has called you is holy, so ye be holy in all manner of conversation. May God bless us.